Okay, recorder's on. I'm recording us now, and here are the questions I have for you. How serious is a problem is sleep deprivation in the United States right now?
Well, I think when people use the term sleep deprivation, you have to make, a very important distinction. There's a subgroup of the population which is true sleep deprived, i.e., they don't have adequate opportunity to sleep. In other words, they can't get 7-8 hours in bed. And there are, residents are examples of that. Some newscasters are examples of that. So is that really a sleep deprivation? And that's an inadequate opportunity to sleep. But a large segment of the population, 20% of Americans, have difficulty sleeping. And their sleep deprivation is there despite adequate opportunity to sleep. They have a disorder called insomnia, which is typically associated with other conditions, rheumatoid arthritis, nocturia, and those are the things which lead to the sleep deprivation. So we have to differentiate between voluntary and involuntary sleep deprivation. Well, neither one is voluntary, but one is lack of time in bed, and one is lack of opportunity. The other one is despite adequate opportunity.
Oh, okay. Now, I understand that there are 5 reasons that Americans are not sleeping at night. Can you go through those for us?
Well, I'm not sure there's 5. Every poll has, the 10 best movies or something like that. I mean, the most common reasons people have difficulty sleeping are, 1, a comorbid medical condition. Okay? The medical conditions, in no specific order, are things like any pain conditions, rheumatoid arthritis, fibromyalgia. Nocturia is a very common reason, especially as you get older. The second condition is a series of psychiatric disorders. Depression is always there. That's a very important cause. A third cause is circadian rhythm disorders. Elderly people tend to have an abnormality in that they shift their clock earlier, so they get up too early. And that's the third thing. Shift workers would fall into that category. And those are the 3 main categories of disorders.
Now, I understand that technology and mobile devices can get into this mix as well.
Yeah, there's very little question that increasingly, people always talk about the fact we're now a 24-hour society. That's not necessarily a good thing. The idea is to have a 16-hour effective society, not a 24-hour ineffective society. What people don't understand about disturbed sleep is, in fact, that has very negative consequences the next day. But very importantly, one of the things that's really important is these devices have blue-green lights which shift your clock, which wake you up, and there's very little question about that. People sleeping, and people have shown this, people sleeping with their device by their bedside have very, very fragmented sleep. It's not only the 1 or 2 times you wake up to respond to your device. It's the fact that all night long you're thinking about the device there. People who have nocturia get up twice to go to the bathroom, but they're up for 30 minutes before that and 30 minutes after that. And so most of these things fragment sleep. Same thing with pain conditions. Fragmented sleep throughout the whole night. And the thing I really want people to understand is it's not simply I had a bad night's sleep. We now know that difficulty sleeping is a major risk factor for elevated blood pressure, just unquestionable about that. It's a huge risk factor for developing a major depressive disease. So it's not simply, I'll tough it out. You're going to get other disorders as a consequence of that.
What about the annual change for most of us to daylight saving time? We just went through that, and I understand that a lot of people have real trouble adjusting to that.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's one of the things that you said before. As a society, we don't get adequate sleep. So, you would think that a one-hour shift wouldn't make that much of a difference, and for many of us it doesn't. But if you have disturbed sleep or you don't get enough sleep, or you don't have enough sleep, that 1 hour just – most of us live on the edge, and that a 1 hour puts us over the edge. So 2 things happen. 1, we lose an hour of sleep, which puts us over an edge. And then, very importantly, we wind up continuing to have that difficulty for the next couple of nights while our clock readjusts to the new time. So, for example, there's more car accidents. There's an increase in number of heart attacks. So, again, it's not 1 hour of sleep. It's the consequences of that 1 hour sleep. One of the things people don't understand, which is really important, is this is the flu season. And one of the things we learned this year, and we've had in research for many years, is if you don't get adequate sleep before the immunization doesn't take hold. So if you're waking up 3-4 times a night, for whatever reason, you want to make sure you get a couple good nights sleep before you go get your flu shot.
Now, also, there's a matter of sleep consistency. People running short of sleep during the week and trying to catch up on the weekends, and I understand that's quite a problem.
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, if there are two things about that. One, you know, one of the things that puts you to sleep and you get up in the morning is the consistency night to night. To the extent that you do that, you know, it means you're sleep deprived. In other words, it means Friday before you catch up on when you sleep on the weekend, you're at risk. And so very clearly, spending too much time in bed, it's okay if you're 18, 19 years old, you know, because you do that and you have some flexibility in your system. For most of us, you know, you can't do that. You just can't do that because you're not going to wind up sleeping well the other nights of the week. You need a clock which tells you when to go to bed and when to get up. You know, you're basically saying you're a shift worker 5 and 2 days a weekend, and that just doesn't work well for most of us.
Okay. Do you happen to know what was the worst city in the United States for these sleep issues? I know Tacoma here right next to us in Seattle was 38.
No, I'm afraid I don't. But part of the problem with those, you know, it's like, you know, what was the heaviest cities? And you never, you know, the question is, how do they know that? Do they ask everybody in Tacoma? So you got to look at what metrics do they use to make that determination. Is it the number of people who have nocturia? Is it the number of people who complain of rheumatoid arthritis? Is it the number of people who take CBTI or something like that? So I never know the answer to that because you got to look at what metrics they use.
Understood. Okay. Where can we get more information on this whole subject? Anywhere we can go online for that?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, there are three major societies. There's the American Academy of Sleep Medicine, and they have a website. The National Sleep Foundation, and this is National Sleep Awareness Month, which was started by the National Sleep Foundation. The National Sleep Foundation, you know, .com or .org is an organization whose commitment is to educate people about it. The other thing is the National Institutes of Health. So if you go to NIH.gov and focus on National Center of Sleep Disorders, you can get information on it. So the National Sleep Foundation, the American Academy of Sleep Medicine, and the National Institute of Health are all great sources of important information about this.
Great. Okay, well, I think we're all set then, and thanks very much.
My pleasure. Good talking to you.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.